The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Amen. Thank you, ladies. Take your Bible and go back, if you will, Matthew chapter 5. Look at verse 43. Here's what the Bible says. Ye have heard that it hath been said, love thy neighbor. Now watch what it says. And hate thine enemy. Now, by the way, that's pretty much a prevalent saying, and pretty much that's the way people interact with people. You love me, I love you. You hate me, I hate you. All right? Now, but that's not the way, let me finish, that is not the way a Christian is supposed to act. See, you got happy about that first part too quick. But the Bible says, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Now, why don't you say amen right there? Okay, now you're acting Christian. Okay. Says, bless them that curse you. That was kind of weak. Bless them that curse you. There it is. Do good to them that hate you. Now you're acting like Christians. That's neat. Pray for them that despitefully use you. Okay, here we go. And persecute you. Now, it doesn't say this in the Bible, but that's hard. That's hard. Now, he says, when you do that, look at verse 45, that ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. Now, he's not taking away your salvation when you don't do that, but what he is saying this, that by others looking on, that they may understand that you are of your Father, which is in heaven. In other words, people don't normally act that way. Again, how do people normally act? You love them that love you. You hate them that hate you. You despitefully do something to someone who despitefully does something to you. You persecute someone who persecutes you. Your definition of turning the other cheek is when they smack you, you turn their cheek with your smack. But that is not the scriptural way to respond. The Bible says, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them that love you, what reward have ye? Do not the publicans the same? And if ye salute the brethren only, what do ye more than the others? Do not the publicans so? Now watch this. Be ye therefore perfect. Now sometimes we think about perfect as reaching that which is the plateau of never falling, never coming short, always right up there, perfect in the way that you look, perfect in your attitude, perfect in your disposition, perfect in your demeanor. It's not what the word perfect means. The word perfect simply means mature. So God is saying this, hey, why don't you just grow up and be mature? Because here's what you're doing. By growing up and being mature, here's what you're doing. You're representing your Father, which is in heaven. So he says this. He says, be therefore perfect, or be mature, even as your Father, so I'm representing him, which is in heaven, is mature. How many believe that you have, or is perfect, uses the word perfect. How many believe that you have a perfect God? By the way, perfect in every fashion. Is that right? Perfect in every fashion. We're not talking about just a state of maturity when it comes to God. We're talking about a perfect God. How many believe God is perfect? Raise your hand. Believe that? Believe that? How many believe that you could be more mature? Raise your hand. You could be more mature. Okay, good. I'm glad you raised your hand, because if you thought you had arrived, you're about ready to find out you've fallen. Okay, let me show you some things tonight that can help us. You know, in courting, we teach a courtship. Even in college, we try to help out with this a little bit, and that is this. We say there should be stages in that which is a relationship growth. Okay, which is this, you like somebody as a friend, by the way, that's the best way to start, because if you don't like them, please don't marry them. You got to start off as friends. So we tell people, start off as friends, you know, find out what you like, what you don't like, find out what you have common, common. You know, it's kind of hard to marry someone, then all of a sudden wake up to feel like that, okay, they're totally different than me. I like to go out to eat. They like to stay home. I like sports. They hate sports. You know, I like to read. They don't know how. You know, and so, you know, somebody said opposites attract, and then they attack. All right, so you got to have some commonality. You got to have some commonality. So the first thing in any type of relationship is you find out, do we like the right things? Do we like the same things? Do we have commonality? Do we have things in common? I tell people that move slow. Don't move fast in any relationship. Move slow. You don't dig in overnight. If you do, you're throwing the dirt a place that doesn't need to be thrown. All right? And so you dig in slow. So first you build a friendship. And we say, go slow. Go slow. I tell those that are the fathers of the sons, the boy is going to be the one that speeds up or slows down the relationship. It's the boy. It's not the girl. It's the boy. Normally, it's not the girl that says, will you marry me? Normally, it's the boy that says, will you marry me? Okay, so it's the boy that's in charge of how fast a relationship grows. We understand that? So if you have a daughter and she is courting someone, you better get close to the boy. Because it's the boy that's going to take your daughter away. All right? So we say in a relationship, there has to be a slowness there. First, you get to know each other as friends. Is that right? Okay? And then it comes to the I like you stage. And then it comes to the I really like you stage. And by the way, you can put as many of those in there as you want to. I like you. I really like you. I really, really like you. I really, really, really like you. I really, 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 really like you before they ever get to the magical words of I love you. But keep it slow. Keep it slow. The problem is that we all have flesh, and flesh like things now. So you got to keep it slow. You have to keep it spiritual. All right? And so it goes from the I like you to the I really like you to the I love you to the I really love you to the I do if you do. I will if you will. And then they come to the marriage altar, and you know, the preacher says, you know, I now pronounce you husband and wife. May I present to you Mr. and Mrs. Hey, it's a done deal. But you don't want to take and do it too fast. All right, now, may I say, in any relationship, there's going to be pluses and minuses. Do you understand that? So in a relationship with a mom and dad, going to be pluses and minuses. Relationships with a friend, pluses and minuses. Relationship with a pastor, pluses and minuses. Somebody says, man, I really like our pastor's personality. Woo! Somebody else says, I really don't like our pastor's personality. Pluses and minuses. Some people like preachers that stand behind the pulpit, monotone, instructional, never raising their voice. Now I'm telling you, some people like preachers that way. Those of you that are shaking your head, you don't like preachers that way. Everybody has different likes and dislikes. Everybody does. Some people like preachers that every time they're going to get up in a service, they're going to rip somebody's face off, and they sit there saying, get them! Get up! Yeah. Some people like preachers that's going to get up and from time to time rip people's faces off, and their thoughts are, as long as it's not mine. Yeah. And we love it. We love it when the preacher is preaching, you got somebody sitting in front of you and they're living in sin or something's wrong in their life. Man, we eat it up. All of a sudden, preacher is nailing their hide, and in your heart, you're saying, get them, get them. And you might even start doing this. Yeah. But then all of a sudden, it turns on you. And it's like, we can't find you no more. You have now knelt to pray in the pew. So we all like different types of things. Now, may I tell you, in relationship growth, there is going to be some times when some people rise up. And what do you do when somebody tries to hurt you? What do you do? What is the response that you should have? Now, by the way, there will be times when somebody will intentionally, stay with my thoughts, or unintentionally cause you hurt. I'm not saying that all hurt is intentional. Don't be blinded by the truth tonight. Some people hurt other people unintentionally. They don't think the process through. They've not weighed it. They've not considered the end thereof. And they wind up hurting people just because they did not execute the proper amount or balanced wisdom. Okay? But what happens when somebody has caused you hurt? What happens? Okay? You may call them your enemy if you want to go that far. Now, may I say, probably that's a little strong, because in most cases, people that cause you hurt are not trying to hurt you. In most cases, are you listening to me? There's hurt that comes out of it, but it wasn't intentional hurt. But let's use some Bible terms tonight for the sake of understanding clarity of that which is how you treat someone that does cause you hurt. Statement number one, here's what the Bible says. Look at it, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44 says, love them. It says, love your enemies. Now, by the way, if you can love your enemy, why can't you love a friend that doesn't intentionally hurt you? Think about it, let it go deep. All right? So you love them. Now, God commands you to love your enemies. So certainly it's easier to love somebody that doesn't like you, even though they're not your enemy. So you're supposed to love them, all right? It was Josh Billingsley that said this. He says, love looks through the telescope. Envy looks through the microscope, all right? So love is that which looks through the telescope. They see things afar off. They're forgiving. They're helpful. But that which is envy will always bring it in for a microscopic view and try and find every angle of it to point out wrong. What is the true love? Love is the one that looks at it from a distance and says, okay, I understand, and I'm not going to come in and crash the banks or hurt or try to cause ill will. I'm just going to simply keep loving. D.L. Moody said this. He says, you haven't love in your heart. Listen to this. You haven't love in your heart should you throw hope to the four winds and not ever do better. You haven't love in your heart if you throw hope to the four winds and never try to do better, all right? Galatians chapter 5 and verse 14, the Bible says, all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So God speaks a lot about love. First Peter chapter 4 and verse 8, the Bible says, love covereth a multitude of sins. Sins, doesn't say wrongdoings, doesn't say faults. So if you can love somebody that sins against you, then certainly you can love somebody that's in fault. That's in fault. Can I help you out a little bit? You will never hurt yourself by loving somebody more than they deserve. You will never hurt somebody by forgiving somebody more than they deserve. You will hurt somebody by being critical. You will hurt somebody by spreading gossip. You will hurt somebody by spreading malicious rumors. You will hurt somebody by trying to defame their character. But you yourself will never hurt somebody by just keep loving and just keep loving and just keep giving understanding and just keep trying. Here's what the Bible says. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 12. The Bible says, if we love one another, God dwelleth in us. And his love is perfected in us. Oh, God said if we love one another, that means we're maturing. Now, when love is perfected, that means it comes to the complete maturing level, if you will, when you love someone, because that love comes out. Okay, you can love somebody to the point and to the place where you overlook some things in their life. Song of Solomon says this, chapter 8 and verse 7, many waters cannot quench love. Many waters. He's trying to drown me. She's trying to drown me. Okay, many waters cannot quench love. Neither can the floods drown it. So if you love somebody, you just keep on loving. You just keep on loving. Well, they hurt me. What do I do? You love them. Man, they talk bad about me. What do I do? You love them. Well, man, they're doing malicious things against me. What do I do? You love them. Well, it just seems like they're out to ruin my reputation. You just love them. May I tell you, when somebody slaps you, you love them. When somebody lies about you, you love them. When somebody curses you, you love them. When somebody despises you, you love them. When somebody hates you, you love them. When somebody wrongs you, you love them. When somebody betrays you, you love them. When somebody mistreats you, you just keep loving. Now, like it or not, if that's the way you're supposed to treat your enemy, then you can treat everybody else that's less than your enemy with a greater amount of that. Sure can. All right, so what do you do if somebody hurts you? Statement number one, you love them. You ready? Statement number two, you bless them. You bless them. Here's what it says, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44, bless them that curse you. All right, so somebody comes up to you and they curse you. What do? You bless them. Now, that is not talking about, you think, bless them, that curse you, you're putting the phrase together. Oh, I know what that means. I will bless them out. That is not what that means. We are using a Bible terminology here. The word bless means this. It means to speak well of them and praise them for their good. For their good. So you praise them for their good. By the way, this is hard to practice. Somebody hurts you, what do? Well, you know, I think that so-and-so is going to do good. I think there's hope for so-and-so. I love so-and-so. I will try to help so-and-so. Now, brokenhearted, yes. Okay, I'm going to get personal. Now I'm your pastor. I came out of evangelism. Can I tell you what I was used to in evangelism? Everybody came. Everybody came. Nobody left. Is that right, Miss Wells? Nod your head this way. Make me look smart. Thank you. Nobody left. Brother Nash, they all came. Sometimes we see a bus show up or we see a vans show up. Pews were packed. Didn't, when I'd preach, auditoriums would fill. They just fill. Rarely would they not be filled. They'd fill. Many times they would fill to utter capacity, and they'd come out into a lobby area. We had pre-services where I'd teach on something. I was used to people coming. I got spoiled in Asia as well, where they didn't come by the hundreds in Asia. They came by the thousands. Spoiled. Spoiled. I came to Parkside Baptist Church. You ready? First 2 years, spoiled. Talking to you like a pastor tonight. Spoiled. I want you to see my point of view. Spoiled. Everybody came. People moved from Indiana. Woo. People moved from Ohio. You can tell where everybody's from tonight because they're shouting for their state. People moved from New Mexico. Brother Butler, why didn't you shout? He's now from Texas, that's why. Man, people moved. Now we got, okay, Isaiah, you're from Maine. Maine. Come on. And we got people that's moved from, what other states? I don't know. Tennessee. Where? Kentucky. Colorado. Kansas. Where else? Oklahoma. Okay, what's with Oklahoma? Now I got to find out who's from Oklahoma because you don't like them. Don't you forget, do good to them. Bless them. Who is it? Texas OU fans. Different states, see? Hey, I'm telling you this, and others. Okay, wait a minute. We still have people calling saying, just want you to know, I'm moving. I've been listening to the podcast. I want you to know, I'm coming to your church. I'm moving. One guy from Pennsylvania has called. I'm moving there. A person just called 2 weeks ago, moving from another state. Hey, God is still doing it. Now, wait a minute. That's what I was used to. I wasn't used to anybody leaving. I've never had anybody leave before. Well, except for when I pastored years ago. But I'd forgotten all that. That was 12 years under the bridge. For 12 years, all I've known is growth. That's it. Everything I've touched. Now, this is God. This is not Mike. Okay. It's not Dr. Wells. It's not Dr. Wells. And we walked into Dairy Queen one night, and a lady came up to me and said, Mike, it's good to see you. I thought he was going to lose his salvation. No, that was at Cracker Barrel, wasn't it? Cracker Barrel. Dr. Smell turned red. And I thought, uh-oh, what happened? You know? And he came up later, he said, the audacity. Somebody calling you Mike. You are Dr. Wells. But my mother called me Mike. Then he would say, that is not your mother. Right, okay. Now I've lost track. Texas, thank you. I'm used to people coming. I'm just used to people coming. And all of a sudden, somebody walked in my office one day and said this. They said, you know, we've tried. We love you. But we need to move down to Brother May because honestly, nobody could take Brother May's place in my heart. Now, it's not that we don't love you. It's just we got to go. Now, can I tell you, I didn't understand that. Can I tell you, I went to my office, Brother Kavanaugh, and I wept. Your wife saw it. My wife saw it. And I had a hard time. I walked around. I couldn't figure it out. Am I so bad? Now, I knew they weren't having some, but I couldn't figure it out. I wasn't taking it personal necessarily. I couldn't understand it. I couldn't understand it. And somebody else came in and said, you know, then we had a little group, you know, that went down to just a very small amount, but they went down to be with Brother May. And then we had some people that said, hey, you know, we're going to go over and be with Brother Bob. Now, by the way, I love both those men. Don't ever doubt it. Don't you ever doubt it. But here I'm pastor. And my heart broke. And I sat in my office and I wept. I wept. Because I just didn't really understand the gravity of that. Then it hit me. Wait a minute. How many states have we had move here? What has God done here? I remember when I became pastor, may I say a much smaller group than we have tonight occupied these buildings on Sunday night. Then I began to look and say, God, I just want to thank you. Then last Sunday when we broke the record of attendance, and Saturday before the Sunday when 203 people came out soul-winning. And God just used that to comfort my heart and say, look, by the way, he calls me Mike too. But God just used that. Please don't call me Mike. Just call me pastor, call me preacher. Don't call me late for supper or Mike. But God just kind of used that to say, Mike, hey, it's going to be okay. Amen. By the way, it's not my work, it's his work. Amen. That's how come you'll never see me trying to point you to me. I'm always trying to point you to Christ. Amen. Because if I die, I don't want you to lose faith. Amen. Listen to me. I'm saying this. I'm saying, well, what do you do? What do you do when the hurt comes? Now, by the way, sometimes somebody would deliberately try and hurt you. It happened. Sometimes somebody will accidentally hurt you. It'll happen. All right? But what do you do? Here's what you do. You just keep loving them. What do you do? Here's what you do. You think about this. You bless them. You bless them. All right? So when somebody comes and they try to hurt you, you speak well of them as much as you can. You speak good of them. Boy, God's going to use them. Thank God for them. Love them. Now, in your heart, you're dying. Nobody understands that like a pastor. Remember walking to Hannah's office, Mrs. Bell's office one day, and I looked at her, and I remember them walking down the aisle. I remember marrying them. I was very grateful that she became a part of our staff. But then I was thinking about those that left. And by the way, we've not had a massive amount of people leave. You think about it, it's only been a small, marginal amount. But some of them have been here for years. Did I not sit in this chair beside you tonight? I know he loves the brother, Mrs. Zapata Sr. I sat here beside him tonight, and I said, I want you to know I love you. Did I say it? I said, I want you to know you're going through a rough time. I know you're going through a rough time. I know that. But I want you to know you have a preacher that loves you. Because we know what it's like, do we not? To hurt on the inside. And by the way, some of you know what it's like to hurt on the inside. Is that right? Now, what do? Here's what you do. You keep loving people. Keep loving people. What do? You keep blessing people. Here we go. I'm done. Here it is. Then the Bible says you pray for them. Now, Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. You say, why are you going from this text? I'm going to tell you, because people that have hurt you probably are not your enemies. Stay with the thought. But if you can love your enemies, then how much more can you love somebody else that's less than your enemy? Stay with the thought. Stay with the complete thought. Okay? Think about this. If you can bless them, and here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, bless them that curse you. Probably nobody that has hurt you has cursed you. I've never cursed one of my friends out. Now that Brother Nash is on staff, I turned to him and said, you curse him. No, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. That's all. I'm just kidding. No, he doesn't even know curse words. You love them. You bless them. You bless them. So what do? You try and make them happy. You bless them. What does that mean? That means that you try and make them feel fulfilled as much as you can. You bless them. What does that mean? That means you speak as well of them as you can and you praise them. May I help you? But you stay away from the negativism. You stay away from it. Now that's hard. But that is a mature Christian. Come on, that's mature. Well, so and so smacked me. What am I supposed to do? Smile. I love you. Go out and buy him a gift. Come on. You be nice to him. Somebody talks bad about him, say, hey, look. You know, I've made mistakes too. You cut a hole for people to be able to see that you can love someone no matter what they do. Hello? Okay, watch this. I'm almost done. You love them. You bless them. You pray for them. Pray for them that which despitefully use you and persecute you. Again, stay with the thought. If you can pray for somebody that despitefully uses you and pray for somebody that does persecute you, then that means it should be easier and more often practiced to pray for those that do less than that. Stay with the thought. Okay, so what do? All right, so you have a rebellious child. What do? You pray for them. You pray for them. You have a drunken husband. You pray for him. You have a financial dilemma that's caused by another person in the family. You pray over it. You've got a hard situation because you have a spouse that seemingly doesn't want any help at all. You pray for them. You have pain that's beyond compare. You pray for it. Don't give up hope. God still answers prayer. Don't throw the towel in. You be there for them. You love them. You help them. Come on. That's what we're supposed to do. You know what the ministry is all about? And I think sometimes we miss it. The ministry is about reconciliation. What is reconciliation? You take a person that has done wrong or has fallen, and you bring them back as close to God as you possibly can. That's the ministry. You know the biggest judgment that's passed against me now as a pastor? So-and-so did wrong. How could you love them? Same way I love you. By the way, stop thinking so highly of yourself. You're a sinner. Well, you know, I never did what they did. Yeah, but I know what you did. Come on, come off of your high horse. Come down, be a Christian, love people, help people, reach out to people. And by the way, if you're so high, then reach down and bring somebody up to your spiritual level. That's what church is about. Well, so-and-so's not dressing right. Okay, what are you doing to help? Well, so-and-so's not acting right. Well, instead of blah, 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 I'm not making fun of you. But instead of blah, 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 hey, why don't you say, look, I'm here for you. I love you. I'm on your side. I want you to get closer to God. Here's what you can do to make that effort. Criticize the teenagers. Criticize the deacons. Criticize the Sunday school teachers. Well, did you know they're not where they should be? Well, look in the mirror, honey child. You're not where you ought to be either. Come on. Isn't it amazing? We look at somebody else and say, you got a spot on your shirt. We ought to be able to look at them and say, wow, you got a nose on your face. And it would be better if you keep it there. Well, some of you are smarter than what your face look like. D.L. Moody said this. He said, spread out your petition before God, then say, thy will, not my will, be done. Here's what we do. We come to God and say, God, so-and-so needs help. God, would you straighten them out? And in our mind, it clicks. And God, we don't say this. But in her mind, it clicks. And God, you have 3 days to do it. That's the way we are. Don't you thank God tonight that God is not as impatient with you than you are with others in your little Christianity? Well, God, I wish they would get right tonight. But they might not. Well, if they don't get right by this time, I'm giving up on them. Boy, I thank God you're not my Jesus. Because he never gives up on anyone. Come on, I'm a soul winner. Do you believe your pastor's a soul winner? Raise your hand. I'm a soul winner. I love people. You know the reason I stay out on Saturday for 6 hours, 7 hours, 8 hours on Saturday? Because once I get out there, I can't come in. And the only reason I come in is because I've got to study for Sunday. Because if I don't study for Sunday, you're not coming back. I can't get up on Sunday morning and say, hey, I had a great time out soul winning yesterday. Stayed out till midnight. But I don't have nothing for you. Let's pray. Doesn't work. I work on it during the week, but I've got to finish everything up. And sometimes I don't even get a chance. Sometimes I don't even get a chance. I wish I did. Preachers that are listening to this podcast, I wish I did. But sometimes I don't get a chance to work on some stuff until Sunday. Or Saturday, Sunday. That's why you're here tonight. You're getting nothing. But sometimes I don't get a chance to work on until Saturday night. And man, I'll come in late. I'm tired. Want to spend some time with the family, so we'll chit-chat a little bit. And then finally, I'll get in, start studying, finish up sometimes 12, sometimes 1, sometimes 2 in the morning. Then I'll come in. I'm always here when the buses are here. I think it's only fair. Now, this is me. As long as I've got health, I think it's only fair if my bus captains have to sacrifice and my bus drivers have to sacrifice and my bus workers have to sacrifice to get up here early, then they don't need a preacher that's not also willing to sacrifice to be up here. These guys work jobs just like I work a job, and I'm putting in 60 and 70 hours a week just like they're putting in 60 and 70 hours a week, and I don't think it's fair that they have a pastor that says go and do when he's not willing to go and do himself. Now, that may change. May change as I get older. May change as all of a sudden I slow down. May change as I can't figure out where to put the key in the car key slot to start it to get here on time. May change if I'm driving down the road and can't figure out where am I going. Come on, you heard about the guy. He was in Texas. He got on the road. He started driving, wound up in Kentucky. Got to Kentucky and said, where's this town? They said, that's in Texas. He said, you mean I'm not in Texas? Wound up in a different state. Really happened. We had people who were supposed to be here this morning. They missed the church. They're in California. I mean, it happens. Abraham Lincoln said this. He says, I've been driven many times to my knees with an overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. Come on. I cheat when I pray in my office. I cheat. I have hard floors in my office, and I have old knees on my body. So I cheat. Don't say wow. Who said wow? You said wow? You said wow? You said wow? Stay over here. It's more spiritual. So I'll take those pillows. I've got pillows that's on my little couch. How many have been in my office? Yeah, that couch is there for a reason. It's not just there for looks. But I've got a pillow that's at two of them. And when it comes time to pray, I don't kneel on the floor. It's hard. I have knees that are 52 years old. Love them. Bless them. Pray for them. Dear Father. So I'll use pillows. I'll put a pillow. TC, I'll put a pillow down there. I kneel on the pillow. Yeah. And it's a thick one, so when it comes time to get up, I just go a little bit like that, and it helps to bounce me up. But I kneel there and I pray. Hey, there's been many times. I want you to see my heart just a little bit. There's been many times where I go to that office and I just weep like a baby. And I get on my knees and I say, Dear God, so-and-so's not being faithful. I don't know what's happening. But I sure do love them. They're one of your kids. I've done my best. I don't know what else to do. God, would you speak to their hearts? Many times. I'm a pastor. God uses other terminologies, overseer, bishop, shepherd. So sometimes I have to use the shepherd's staff. Sometimes I have to use it. Kenny, come here. Sometimes one of the sheep tries to do their own thing. And so I have to say, whoa, come back, come back, come back. Sometimes I have to say, whoa, come back, come back, come back. Sometimes they get out of line. I say, whoa, 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 over here, over here, over here, over here. Okay? Sometimes wicked things try to hurt them, and so I try and beat off the wicked thing. Not you. Thank you. I try and beat off the wicked things. Come on. Try and keep them in line a little bit. Yeah. Over that way. No, over that way. Hey, don't break my staff. Over that way. Over that way. Okay, thank you. Be seated. Now, that's what a pastor's supposed to do. All right? Now, understand this. Here's what we understand tonight. I'm done. You pray for them. So I'm saying this. If somebody is your enemy and God says to love them, then how much more love should you give somebody that's not your enemy? Do you get it? If somebody is that one that curses you and you're supposed to bless them, then how much more can you bless somebody that hasn't cursed you? If somebody is despitefully using you and persecuting you, then how much more should you pray for them that are not despitefully using you and persecuting you? Now here's what your Bible says. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 8, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. The Bible says, everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. Now that's in a perpetual state. That means continuance. So what do? I ask and I ask, I ask, I ask, I knock, I knock, I knock, I knock, I seek, I seek, I seek, I seek. Then God answers. So don't leave out prayer. Luke chapter 11 and verse 1, the Bible says, Lord, teach us to pray. By the way, the disciples never one time said, hey, Lord, teach us to preach. Never said it. Our Bible college is one of the few and far between Bible colleges in America that has a whole course on prayer. You know why? Because when you get out in the ministry as a young buck preacher, you better learn to get a hold of God. Because there's going to be some things you don't understand. There's going to be some things that comes down your alley that you have no other recourse but to go to God. And you better learn how to go to God. All right? Oh, wait a minute. The Bible says in James chapter 5 and verse 16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, didn't say an unrighteous man, but a righteous man availeth much. So make sure you're right in your heart. Why? If you want God to avail much to you, you have to be right. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 1, the Bible says the king's heart, please learn this, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers of water, and he turneth it whithersoever he will. Okay, here's a young person says, I want it. By the way, are you listening to me? College young person. Still living at home, which means you're still under your mom and dad's governing authority. By the way, you should still submit to your parents onto the fact of marriage. God bless you. All right? So here's a college-age young person says, well, I want to do this because I'm an adult. And your parents say, no, I don't want you to do that. So what do you do if I disagree with my parents? There's one verse for you right here. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as the river of water, rivers of water, rivers, plural, of water. He turneth it whithersoever he will. I went to Sylvia, my wife, Mrs. Wells. I went to her dad, said, I'd like permission to be able to date, court your daughter. Okay, he wasn't too keen on the idea, pretty well was shut off. Didn't go beyond the back. Later on, asked for her hand in marriage. Honestly, to begin with, wasn't too keen on the idea. We prayed, did not do anything wrong, dishonorable to either parent. God changed the heart, and it became honorable. Honorable. Okay? So what do? You say, well, I want to do this, but my parents don't agree. Okay, you pray that God changes your parents' heart. God can do that. You be patient, you be wise. Hello. You walk in the Spirit, you submit yourself to authorities, and you pray that God works in the authority's life. God can still do that. I said, God can still do that. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying tonight, what do you do? What do you do when somebody hurts you? They may hurt you intentionally. Most of the time, it's not. Honestly, most of the time, somebody doesn't come out and say, I'm going to get them. Most of the time, the hurt that you suffer is unintentional. Somebody says something, they didn't mean it. They didn't mean it towards you. You just happened to be there. They said it. They love you. They just said a word. They said a phrase. They said a sentence. And because, don't get me wrong, you were already hurt by something or by someone else, you took that hurt, compiled it, and now you're hurt towards them. But most of the time, people that hurt you is not even thinking about that's their agenda to hurt you. But what do you do if you are hurt? Please realize this tonight. If you can love your enemies and you are commanded to do so, then how much more should you love those that are less than your enemies? Please stay with the thought tonight. If you can bless them that curse you, then how much more should you be a blessing and bless those that are not out to destroy you and curse you? If you can be that one tonight that can pray for those that despitefully use you and persecute you, then how much more? Hey, can I tell you something? We're a church family. Now get it in your head. We're a church family. Nobody here is hating you. Nobody here is trying to be mean to you. So can't you just give somebody some grace? That if they say something that hurts your feelings, can't you give them enough grace to understand that they did not mean that? Where is your grace? By the way, you want a lot of grace, but you don't want to give a lot of grace. Why can't you give grace? Come on. Have you ever met anybody in your life? I'm done. Here it is. You ever met anybody in your life that's had a bad day? Raise your hand. You have, haven't you? You ready? Have you ever in your life had a bad day? Raise your hand. Okay, you ready? Here we go. On your bad day, did you wish that somebody would give you a little bit of grace? Raise your hand. Now, if that's true, why don't you be as gracious towards others as you expect others to be towards you? Well, he said that and he shouldn't have said that. Well, let me tell you what I think about. Well, he hit me and I ought to. Well, he deliberately tried to hurt me, so therefore I'm going to. Well, he said this about me, so I'm going to rise up and take care of. You have one pastor. Don't get mad at me, but you're not it. Come here, Josh. He's one of my boys. Has there ever been a time when you needed me to pull you along? Has there ever been a time? Has there ever been a time when I said, okay, you don't have to understand it, but this is what we're going to do? Ever been a time? Has there ever been a time in your life when you wanted to do something? Don't break my stick. We can replace the neck. I don't know about the stick. But has there ever been a time when you wanted to do something and I said no? Okay. Has there ever been a time when you didn't understand when I said no?
Yes, sir.
Has there ever been a time when you wanted to do your own thing and I didn't let you?
Yes, sir.
Have you made it?
Yes, sir.
Are you still alive?
Yes, sir.
How old are you?
24.
Are you happy?
Yes, sir.
You sure?
Yes, sir.
Do you want to trade me in for another dad?
Never.
Okay. Now, wait a minute. I have a responsibility as a dad to lead my son. Okay, now, wait a minute. Now he's a church member, not my son. Not my son. As a shepherd, I have a responsibility. You ready? Here we go. You ready? Don't get mad at me. Don't you get mad at me. There's going to be some days in your life when I say, don't do that. You have one shepherd, not two, not three, not four. You have one. It's going to be a day in your life. I don't care if you're a businessman. I don't care if you're a college student that's in her school. There's going to be a day when I pull you in and say, don't do that no more. It's not wise. It's going to hurt you. And I'm telling you, stop. Stop. Everybody needs a pastor. Everybody needs a pastor. You say, well, I don't like that. Then you need to find another pastor because you need a pastor. You need somebody that you trust enough to help you through the complexities of life. There's going to be some days in your life when I say, hey, nope, you don't do that. Don't do that. There's going to be some times in your life when you hear me, I'm up here preaching, and what I'm doing is I'm saying, hey, stay away from that. Hey, get away from that. Don't you dare do that. Don't you go over there. Hey, stay away from that. If you're not careful, here's what you're going to think. Oh, man, preacher had no right to do that. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And by the way, I don't care how long you've been here. Hey, don't pull this stuff on me. Oh, Brother May never did it that way. God bless you. Let me help you to wake up about something. Brother May's gone. Don't get mad at me. I love you. But I don't care what Brother May did. You have one pastor that is led of God to lead you. That's it. That's it. Don't pull this stuff on me. Well, we were used to doing it for 25 years this way. God bless you. It's over. Stop looking back and whining. It's over. You have one pastor. He's going to be spirit-led. He's going to lead. And by the way, as long as you're looking back, you'll never live to the fullness to get what you need right now. Hey, have you woke up to this point? At least this point, that my last name is Wells, has that hit you yet? Somebody came to my office not too long ago. They said, well, Brother May. I said, look, I'm sorry. I was Mike Wells when I came. Looked in the mirror this morning, not being ugly. I was Mike Wells this morning, too. Now, I've already honored Brother May in my message, along with these other men. I love them. But I promise you, Brother May, in pastoring where he's pastor, he's not getting up in the pulpit and saying, well, let me tell you, we got to change this because Brother Wells said. Not happening. Do you understand that? All right. Now, if you're not careful, here's what you're going to do. Brother Wells says to a church member, this is where we're going to go. This is what you need to do. And if you're not careful, try and turn around. Doesn't work. It's going to be painful. It will. Okay, turn around. Don't break my stick. Well, I'm going to go do it this way. You know why it doesn't work? Because you're going against an authority God put in your life. It's not a Brother Wells thing. It's a God thing. Unless you understand that, what takes place is those things become very stressful and hurtful in your life. Can I tell you what? Are you ready? Pastored 19 years. How many years as a pastor? How many? 25 years. He chose to come and put himself under a pastor's authority. Never given me any grief. No problem. I ask him to do something. He says, yes, sir, I'll take care of it. Are you ready? How many years you been here? Just here. 28 years. If it was going to be harder on anyone, Mrs. Bulkley, is it not true? Y'all went to college with the Mays, is that right? If it was going to be harder on anyone, it's probably harder on this dear couple. Come on. I remember this. Brother May showed up this not long after I passed her. You might remember the incidents. Brother May threw him his keys. and said, I need you to go clean the car, gas the car up, or whatever. He looked at me, looked at Brother May, and said, I can't do that unless my pastor says. I thought, that's remarkable. How'd you do that? Okay? He changed hats immediately. You worked for Dr. May 7 years? 10 years. Never given me a bit of trouble. Not one bit of trouble. Josh, you can go away. Hey, this guy worked for me sort of like an assistant pastor on the road, traveled on his own, grew up in the home. I mean, been there with me forever as far as his birth. How many years you work full-time Christian service? 24 years. By the way, probably, I'm going to step out on a limb, but probably closer to being the right hand to Brother Owens than any other man on staff. All right, wait a minute. Came here, moved here, not giving me any grief. I say, I need this change. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. He doesn't say, well, I tell you what, I'm used to doing it this way. Hey, he's got a new pastor. New pastor, new philosophy. Things a little bit different here. I'm saying this tonight. I'm saying you pray for them. You pray for them. What do? You bless them and you love them. And by the way, everybody can do it. I'm not saying it's easy. I feel for you. I do. Deacons, I got. I love you. But I feel for you. You know why? Because you and I make some major decisions. Hey, come on. I know where you guys come from. Feel for you a little bit. I do. Come on. But if we spend all that time saying, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm not Dr. Owens. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry I'm not in evangelism anymore. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry I'm not Dr. May. Ooh, wenny, wenny. I'm so sorry. Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And I'll forget all that junk. I'm not sorry at all. You're here. I'm here. Let's get with it. We're going forward, get in, get all the way in, put your feet in, let's go forward, let's see God do something. Well, I just think that I might leave. Oh, shut up. You just decide that you're gonna get in, stay in, let's see what God can do.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at pbcmesquite.org.